Reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you will not serve my God or worship the golden statue that I set up? Be ready now to fall down and worship the statue I had made. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, flute, lyre, harp, psaltery, bagpipe, and all the other musical instruments. Otherwise, you shall be instantly cast into the white-hot furnace. And who is the God who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "There is no need for us to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If our God, whom we serve, can save us from the white hot furnace and from your hands, O King, may he save us. But even if he will not, know, O King, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden statue that you set up." King Nebuchadnezzar's face became livid with utter rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times more than usual, and had some of the strongest men in his army bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the white hot furnace. Nebuchadnezzar rose in haste and asked his nobles, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" "Assuredly, O King," they answered. But he replied, "I see 4 men unfettered and unhurt, walking in the fire, and the 4th looks like a son of God." Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to deliver the servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the royal command and yielded their bodies, rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." Verbum Domini. Glory and praise forever.
Glory and praise forever.
Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. And blessed is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all the ages.
Glory and praise forever.
Blessed are you in the temple of your holy glory, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne upon the cherubim, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you in the firmament of heaven, praiseworthy and glorious forever.
Glory and praise forever.
Is the Lord worthy, O Lord Jesus Christ?
tuum.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the Son frees you, then you will truly be free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence. Then do what you have heard from the Father." They answered and said to him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." So they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and am here. I did not come of my own, but he sent me." Verbum Domini. Have you ever seen a picture of this man? He's a Japanese man who's a servant of God. His cause has been opened by the Archdiocese of Nagasaki in Japan. His name is Takashi Nagai. Lived a remarkable life. Was born in 1908 in Japan. He studied medicine and was one of the top students in Nagasaki. But he was an atheist. And one time when he was, as students were required to do dissections on a cadaver, he said to himself, "This is just material. The idea that there's a soul there is pure fantasy." But there was something that changed his mind regarding that, and that was the death of his own mother, who died suddenly of a stroke. And as she was dying from that stroke, he visited her bed, and her eyes looked at him, and he had remembered that she had always loved him so generously, so sacrificially throughout her life. And he came to the intuition, he said, that the spirit lives on. He couldn't imagine that the spirit is just extinguished, that it lives on. It began deeper questions in his own mind and his heart. Well, in Nagasaki, he stayed with a Catholic family. You know, Nagasaki at the time, and I believe it's still true, is a center of Catholicism in Japan. And the cathedral was there in Urigami, which is dedicated to the Immaculate Conception. And he was staying with his family, and they were praying for him, praying that he would come to believe, and they invited him to go to the midnight mass. And it was there he had a mystical experience of our Lord, in which he said, I felt somebody close to me whom I still did not know. I felt somebody close to me whom I still did not know. He never forgot the words in the homily by the priest that night. And here's what that priest said of our Lord's incarnation. He said, "Here is the humility that our minds know is truth to make us free." Words from today's gospel of our Lord. So the priest is pointing to the incarnation of the Word who became flesh. Here is the humility that our minds know is truth to make us free. Here is a salvation for which our hearts yearn. How can we complain about hardships when the Holy Family accepted the darkness and pain of this night because it was the Father's plan? So those were words that he never forgot and were always kind of a guiding light for him in his life. He had to serve in the military. And while he was there, that Catholic family, the Moriyama family, the daughter Midori, whom eventually he would marry, sent him a catechism. And so he read through the catechism. He read Blaise Pascal's Pensées. And one of the reasons he was attracted to Blaise Pascal, because like himself, Blaise was a brilliant scientist. And yet he was a man of faith. And so he's wondering, why does he believe? This man who is such a brilliant scientist in the 16th century, and he would read Blaise Pascal's Pensées. Well, eventually, as I said, they would marry, but then that fateful day, they would have four children. Two of them died in infancy. But that fateful, sad day in Nagasaki, August 9th, 1945, the atomic bomb was dropped. His children were in the country, and so the two surviving children were in the country. They survived, but his wife was not, and she died. And when he looked for her body, he found the melted rosary beads that had been in her hand when the bomb exploded and created this atomic wilderness. But his reaction to this was such a remarkable thing that he wrote books. He was himself dying of leukemia. He was a radiologist, and at that time in its infancy in radiology, he didn't have films, and so he's watching the x-rays, actually being penetrated himself by the x-rays over and over from his patients who he was treating. That was part of it, but then the radiation sickness also advanced his dying process. But it was during this time that he wrote 10 books, and they had such an effect. He was one of the great motivators for peace in post-war Japan. Helen Keller visited him as a goodwill ambassador from the United States. The Emperor of Japan visited him. The Pope sent an emissary to visit him because of this impact that he had. But listen to some of the words that he said that are quite remarkable. He said, and this is after the nuclear blast, "I walked with God in the ghostly desolation of Urakami." That was a district in Nagasaki where the bomb landed. "And I finally understood the depth of his friendship. While my gaze wandered over the boundless land, I discovered with surprise that within me I felt neither regret nor sadness at having lost everything. When I realized what I needed to seek was something that never dies, a new and great hope settled in my heart. I was starting a new life." He needed to seek for something that never dies. As he's looking at all of this desolation, as he's lost his wife, he, by the way, forgot to mention, had converted to Catholicism before he married his wife, Midori. But now he becomes this man of great faith, and you may have noticed in his hands, this is the time of his mourning, the sixth month of mourning, he has in his hand the Holy Rosary. And devotion to Our Lady was very important to him. And so August 9th was when that bomb had landed. On November 23rd, that same year, 1945, they have a requiem mass outside the ruins of the Urakami Cathedral. And so they have a mass for all of the deceased who had died there. And because he was a leader in the Catholic community, they asked him to say some words. And here's what he said, which is remarkable, which I'd like to tie into today's first reading in a special way. These three men in the fiery furnace who are thrown in there for their fidelity to God. So this is at the Requiem Mass in front of the ruins of the cathedral on November 23rd, 1945. Was not Nagasaki the chosen victim, the lamb without blemish, slain as a whole burnt offering on an altar of sacrifice, atoning for the sins of all the nations during World War II? Only this Holocaust in Nagasaki sufficed, and at that moment, God inspired the emperor to issue the sacred proclamation that ended the war. The Christian flock of Nagasaki was true to the faith through three centuries of persecution. During the recent war, it prayed ceaselessly for lasting peace. Here was the one pure lamb that had to be sacrificed as a holocaust on his altar so that many millions of lives might be saved. The war ended, and he would spend the rest of his life contemplating redemptive suffering, how we share in Christ's suffering in reparation for sin, but also for the salvation of the world. Here's a beautiful picture of he with his two children as he's dying of leukemia. He lived for six more years, but as he's writing, and you can see the love of his children for his children, and he would write especially words to them that after he died that they would remember. And here's what he wrote to them. My dear children, love your neighbor as yourself. This is a word I leave you. It is by this word that I begin this document, and it is perhaps by it that I will end it, and again by it that I will sum it up. He would, in the ruins of his own house, build a hut 6x6, and that's where he is with his children at this moment, where he would still treat patients. And he called it As Yourself Hermitage. So love your neighbor as yourself. And that was something that he lived to the end of his life. But as we look at today's readings, so these three young men are thrown into the fiery furnace. And we had, in as our psalm today, we had the hymn that they were singing, as with one voice, praising God. Blessed are you, Lord, God of our fathers. But there's also a prayer that precedes this. It's a prayer of one of the young men, Azariah, whom the Babylonians would call Abednego. And Azariah is praying that here we have no place to offer sacrifice. Why? Because they had been taken into captivity in Babylon, and the temple where they did offer sacrifice was now destroyed. But he says something poignant. He says, yet with contrite heart and humble spirit may we be accepted, as though it were burnt offerings of rams and bulls with tens of thousands of fat lambs, May our sacrifice be in your sight today. And may we wholly follow you, for there's no shame for those who trust you. So Azariah sees that our sacrifice, our being faithful to you, our being thrown into this fiery furnace, that's the sacrifice we offer to you. This is what the servant of God, Takashi Nagai, understood as he contemplated, what's the meaning of this? Is it all senseless? But he sees that this center of Catholicism, which Nagasaki was in Japan, this was a sacrifice that ended the war, sharing in Christ's sacrifice. And he prayed that Nagasaki should be the last atomic wilderness in the history of the world. May that be so. May that never be known ever again by any people. But may this be through the example and through the prayers of the servant of God, Takashi Nagai, and his own example, be the last atomic wilderness in the world. So he wrote a book called The Bells of Nagasaki, and I'll close with this. When I was in Nagasaki with Mother Angelica, she was actually looking to open perhaps a monastery in Nagasaki. I purchased a book called The Bells of Nagasaki, which he had written. I didn't know the significance of this man at the time. But in that book, he wrote about, so August 9th, the bomb has dropped. November 23rd, they have this Requiem Mass in front of the ruins. But Christmas then is coming. And those bells of the cathedral, he wanted to hear ringing again. So they dug through the rubble and they found those bells. And on Christmas Eve, they rung those bells again. That this was going to be the sign of hope. That Christ is our hope. During this Passion Tide, which is the fifth week of Lent and Holy Week, we're especially thinking of our Lord's own passion. And he said this, and I'll just close with this quote of Takashi Nagai. Dearest God, thank you for allowing her, Midori, to die praying. She died with the rosary in her hand. Mother of Sorrows, thank you for being with faithful Midori at the hour of her death. Ah, gracious Jesus, our Savior, you once sweat blood and bore the heavy cross to your crucifixion. And now you have shed peaceful light on the mystery of suffering and death, on Midori's and my own. Christ's suffering and death gives meaning to our own. This is how he died. With smile, a smile on his face, with hope that the Lord who was with him through it all was now going to welcome him into eternal life.